that they are using the coronavirus as an experiment, like they're treating us as guinea pigs, where they're trying to see how isolation will impact us, if they, you know, do one thing or another, how will we comply. And it's all laid out that this is kind of an experiment, and it's a new control system that they are rolling out. So I talk about this coming technocracy, how Elon Musk is essentially an agent of the crown and is the public face of this technocracy, and how Donald Trump is trying to combat it. They want to phase out cars because the car is a symbol of American individuality and independence, where you can hop in a car and go anywhere you want. They view us as guinea pigs, and no, they don't care about humanity. We're basically, and unfortunately in their view, we're animals on a pig farm. So they actually show in their own words that they are experimenting with us, and they're trying to see how the people react to different conditions like social isolation.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he will guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This is part two of my interview with Susan Bradford. If you have not seen part one, please go back and listen to part one. And I also wanted to tell you, because I failed to mention this in the intro before part one, that Susan stays after for my patrons and does an exclusive, and we discuss the Nasera-Gasera legislation, and we also discuss why we have not seen anybody locked up going to prison. What is going on? I know many of you, just like me, want to see people arrested, and why the heck are we not? And so that's something that we discuss. Okay, so let's get into part two with Susan Bradford.
So this Greg Hallett is the legitimate line, whereas once the Rothschilds came in, they created an illegitimate line, and that's the illegitimate line that started to rule England and didn't have any royal blood in it after a while? Or how did they interbreed at some point and then created their line, or did they just flat out create their line with no royal blood?
That's a very good question. There might be some. My understanding is that it has been essentially a Rothschild line with by intermarrying, you know, maids and other third parties, and they in turn have been brought in. So just as Bill Clinton was brought over to the United States as a baby to be groomed to become president of the United States, they have children outside marriages or, you know, through various alliances who are then groomed to fill power positions around the world. So my understanding is that they do not have the royal bloodline. Like they married into it, they diluted it, and there's the actual genuine royal bloodline is somewhere else.
Well, and this Greg Hallett is, because apparently Anne Boleyn is Greg Hallett's great 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 grandma, right?
I'm not. It goes back pretty far. He is a direct descendant.
But he is not?
No, he is, but it goes back pretty far. I'm not sure how many greats, but yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, quite a bit of greats, but she is his grandma somewhere, and it goes back.
Correct.
But he is the top of the line then, not just a descendant, but he is the descendant that would normally rule based on his lineage.
Correct. Based upon his lineage, and that he was selected by the genuine royals to fill that role, and based upon his fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
But who are the genuine royals? His parents and that, and his relatives?
He's citing the Victoria line. I think his I don't want to get the names confused. I think it's Juan Carlos who Queen Victoria had a child out of wedlock, or she had a child with a genuine royal back in the day, and That individual was sent to, I believe it was Portugal, and then she then intermarried with the Rothschilds afterward, interbred with them, creating a fictional fictional bloodline. So the Juan Carlos was the direct descendant from her, and I believe it's Queen Victoria's family and heirs have selected Greg, and I don't want to mistake, because they're so it's very complicated.
That's fair. But why? Here's my question: why is any of this legitimate in the first place? Why is the royal bloodline legitimate at all? You know, I'm like, there's just people. What the hell is this? I can say, okay, well, the queen's not legitimate, but what the hell is this? The whole thing seems ridiculous.
They allegedly are a direct bloodline to Jesus. And I know this might blow your mind, but apparently...
No, that's okay.
but Jesus, I'm a Christian, by the way, I'm open to the truth. Jesus, apparently there are two of them, and he did not die on the cross. When I heard this, I know it's normal to be very skeptical, but the Bible has been rewritten. The truth has been withheld from us. And I do remember reading in the Talmud of the Emmanuel, which allegedly reflects the true story of Jesus, which states that when he told his followers that I will not die on the cross, but I will be reborn again. What he was telling them was that he was confirming to them that I am the Son of God. I have the gift of prophecy, and you'll know. Do not weep for me, because I will not have died. So he didn't actually die. And of course, I wasn't there. But there are a number of stories which affirm that he did not actually die on the cross. Greg's records confirm that he did not die on the cross, and there were actually two of them. And the Quran also reflects that Jesus did not die on the cross. He passed out, if you will, but that he did not die, and he was able to, you know, continue on. And I don't believe that particular aspect of whether he died or not is relevant to whether one is a Christian or not, because I think you can have faith, you can have a direct connection to God, to follow Jesus, you know, without, you know, having to affirm a fact of the Bible that has been rewritten many, many times as a control system over humanity.
Well, and you could argue this is a control system as well, saying that their bloodline is from Jesus, and that in itself could be a control system.
But that's very true, and that's fair. I don't think that Greg seeks to control. I think he's kind of a transitional figure to get us out of the Rothschild system and into a freer system. And you do have to have some type of leadership at the top coordinating that.
Yes, and so you really think that? I mean, there's a lot of evidence to show this is moving forward. And I mean, I'm going to post the link to what the Gacera legislation is, and the Sarah Gacera, it's really great, and it really could help us. And what my source told me, that they really want to break down this Rothschild control tyranny, and for a while it's going to be so much better with the other side ruling. But they're people, and they have power, and they're gonna, it just is what it is. They're gonna start being tyrannical as well, because they're based on the same background. I just hope we can rise up and control that and make sure that there is humanity can be free for a lot longer. We can rise up and mature as human beings and be free for a long time.
I agree. The royal family had also intermarried with the British royal family, had intermarried with the Russian royal family. And before the Khazarians took over over Russia. They were trying to create a world empire that was based on Christian principles of freedom and goodwill to man. And I believe that that is what they are trying to create. Of course, you know, as Americans and as people within a democracy, we have to remain vigilant and to contest any abuses of power and to speak out against it. But I do believe that their intent is for a system that would facilitate our growth. It would relieve us from the terrible burdens of taxation. And from what I understand, the Pope has been arrested, and the Rothschilds apparently maintained their supply of gold and wealth at the Vatican. I believe that they are in the process of breaking, I guess, maybe restoring the wealth and to the people and relieving us of this debt system. You may also know that the Queen, through I think it's either through Quinitec or Serco, has a contract for the IRS. So they're extracting a lot of our wealth through the back door. So our taxes are actually going to them, a lot of them.
I've heard that. And that's pretty well documented.
It is. So they're trying to kind of reverse that and bring wealth and freedom and power back to the people.
Now, this only will work if Trump wins. If he loses, we're screwed.
Correct. Well, I mean, not necessarily that we're screwed, because the illegitimacy of that side has been established. But the Democrats are trying to push through the Green New Deal and this tyranny. And we see right now that they're unleashing their Bolsheviks across the country.
It's very, very clear that it's tyranny. It's incredible. I mean, when you're allowing so many more people to die from health conditions and depression and suicide than some virus, you are clearly committing acts of treason and, you know, acts against humanity. It's just incredible.
I agree. It's very cruel, I think, what they're doing.
Very cruel. And then it's so obvious that the mass media is covering for them. And so more and more people are just horrified to watch the mass media lie on a nightly basis. It's incredible.
And I've also read that Trump is allowing this to happen so that the public can be shocked into a state of awakeness, to see them for what they are. And then from that position, they'll be able to, they'll be mobilized to reclaim their power.
Well, I hope so. I'm working hard to educate people. A lot of us are trying to do our best, but I'm in the middle of a city that is very asleep. And I walk around, I'm one of the only ones not without a mask. It's a very difficult situation. Now, I am one of those that think that Trump would win in a landslide if allowed to, but I think they're working to fix the election.
I agree. Through the post office and so.
Yep.
I know that they are trying to do that, but on the other hand, I think that there are enough patriots and people in positions of power who understand the illegitimacy of their position, and also that if they were allowed to assume power, it would likely not only be the end of the United States, but the end of the world.
Why the end of the world?
They would attempt to impose their tyranny on the rest of us. They have also they would be just extracting all of the wealth and power to themselves. In the past, they've also talked about nuking the world, they're hardcore Satanists, So they would try to destroy everything in their wake. I mean, their attitude is if they can't have it, nobody else can either, and they will try to destroy everything in their wake.
But they will go after everything they can. I mean, they will lie, they will cheat, they'll steal, they'll do everything. I mean, we're watching it in display right now of them lying. So they will do anything to win this. And so it could get really, really ugly before this thing is settled out, because with the media behind them and the fact that they the fact that they care about people and their health and racism, and so they use all that BS. They're lying, of course. They're using it, and a lot of people believe it.
I think they're losing credibility. Like, they will, for example, say that they're peaceful protesters, they care about people, and then you see their rioters bludgeoning innocent people on the street. So there's a huge disconnect between what they're saying and what the reality is. And I hope that a lot of people are waking up to that fact.
Yeah, I hope so too. But you know, the young people, who college type people and the Democrat type people, they still are really snowed by it. And I think they still have a decent size following. I just hope they don't have a big enough size following that if they fix the election, people will believe it. I don't know. I just hope to God that's not true. Let's talk about the troops, the Chinese troops in Canada, and how I think the Oklahoma case actually could be tied into that. But there's Chinese troops in Canada, and how does that play with the Queen and the Crown backing that? Because that's a very serious issue, because they've actually been, Canada is actually made a deal that the vaccine will be implemented by these Chinese troops for Canadians.
Okay, so I had a few reactions to that. The first is that the globalists through the World Health Organization had planned that the vaccines would be administered by the armed forces throughout the world. So they were coordinating the healthcare providers with the armed forces. Canada does not really have a very large a military. In fact, they've relied upon the United States for their defense. So my view would be that since Canada is essentially part of the British Commonwealth and Britain, the British Crown controls communist China, that the Chinese military would be used to distribute the vaccines or to administer the vaccines.
But that also plays into the fact that the Chinese troops are up there protecting their own assets. So
that's correct.
Yeah. And so how does that all tie into it? And how does that tie into the United States being, I mean, a lot of people think that's, if they're going to invade, they're going to use the Chinese military, just like they use the U.S. military to invade places. But they're, now they're going to use the Chinese military to come in and deal with the rebel rousers in the United States, especially if anything happens with this election.
Yes, that's a very good point. I've noticed that in the past few decades, there have been quite a few lawsuits that have been geared at recovering land for Indian country, and has been seen as a type of justice for the Indians, you know, who allegedly, you know, they lost their land through treaty violations from the federal government. But the reality is that the Brits have controlled the Indian tribes from the very beginning, from the founding of our country. So just to give you a sense of this, originally when the colonists were attempting to expand westward, Britain wanted to, the crown wanted to control the entire North American continent. They wanted this to, that to be their colony from which they could extract taxes and wealth and mineral resources in perpetuity. So they militarized the Indians against the colonists to kind of to push them off the land, and they tried to force them to negotiate directly with the crown in order to acquire land. So through the American Indian Wars, the crown was able to get America into debt. From that debt, they were able to control the money supply, and then in turn, the country gradually, you know, they were able to insinuate themselves into the halls of power. But these Indian tribes were created specifically on land that was rich in oil and minerals. In the case of Oklahoma, the Indians were the lands were opened up to westward expansion following the American Revolution, and once oil was discovered in Oklahoma, the Brits tried to recover or to claim that land through you know, through a country called Sequoia, like they wanted to have their own country within a country. They lost the Indian land when Oklahoma became a state. And so they have since been trying to reclaim territory by claiming it, by going back into history, trying to find any instance in which the Indians might have owned land. And then they in turn are going to try to, you know, to create a scenario or find some type of legal leeway where they can recover the land for the Indian, or, you know, which would be in their case, the crown. And I think, as you have said, that since the deep state has, you know, as I've written in some of my books, the deep state has been forged in America through the back door of the Indian tribes, that, you know, the tribes could, in fact, be used to house troops, you know, to help them, you know, either administer the vaccines or recover the country for the crown. And there's a wider issue with this too, and that is that the Native Americans share a genetic line with the Chinese. And that's because the original Native Americans emanated from Mongolia, traversed through Russia into Alaska and then down into North America. So they are genetically Chinese, if you will. And the Rothschilds have convinced them that since they are share a genetic heritage, that North America belongs to them. So that they're looking upon our continent with all of its, you know, beautiful land or resources, a beautiful land, and given how cramped and overpopulated they are, they think that they deserve to have North America. So they want to, you know, reclaim our territory, move into it, and then basically cleanse America of the excess population, which would be everybody else, and then rewrite history to claim that they've always had it.
And you believe that China has bought into this crap full bore? I mean, they really believe it. I mean, there's crazy people who run these dictatorships, these communist party. Do these crazy people really believe that?
I think they do at the very top. I mean, the ideologues certainly do. And remember that the Rothschilds use race as a weapon. So, for example, they militarized Hispanic people through groups like the Raza and Mesa, telling them that America stole, California, New Mexico, Arizona from them, and that they were to invade and conquer America to reclaim it. They brought in the Muslims and tried to establish American grievances against the Muslims, and then tried to convince the Muslims that they could reclaim America through a Ummah and establish a Muslim dictatorship. So they use different peoples as a weapon to advance their own agenda. So they're working behind in the shadows to advance that cause. But in the case of the Chinese, it's the military.
So if Trump doesn't win, how dangerous is it for the American people?
That's a good question. I think Trump will definitely do right by us. I know that he wants to, and he has been. Kamala Harris signed on to the Green New Deal, and she is golden girl of the crown, and she will do everything in her power to advance that agenda. So I think things could get very dangerous if Biden were to get in, because I think it's been said that Biden will not last very long in office, and that Kamala would likely become president within a few months. So she would, I think it would be very dangerous, but at the same time, I don't want to fearmonger. And I do believe that the law is not in their favor. And I think that at the end of the day, they will be forced to abide by that law. But at the same time, they're going to try, to advance the agenda. I don't think they're going to be very successful at it.
You think there's enough people in positions of power to make sure that they don't cheat the election?
No, that's a good question. I've also heard that Trump may not, he may either postpone the election or he might not give it up easily. That's a good question. I guess it's really an opinion, more than anything else.
Sure, I can appreciate that. At this point, we don't know. And I'm trying to figure it out. How likely is it that if they cheat the election, because they're gonna cheat it. I think Trump will win in a landslide, and they will cheat it, and they will spin it as if this is the legitimate outcome of the election, and then we'll see what happens.
But Trump right now is in control of the entire world, and that's because the British crown has been declared illegitimate, and he is now the keeper of the crown until the new monarch can be established. So if he has all the power, I don't think he would give it up for these people.
Now, has the United States already been reclaimed instead of the corporation? Has the United States already been, have we already been reinstated? Do you know what I'm saying? Because I know the crown took us over, and just like in the Gesera thing, they're messing around with their birth certificates and all these other things, instead of us being having rights and being the true citizens of the United States, we were property of a corporation.
Correct, and we were commodities sold on the stock exchange. I believe that they are in the process of implementing the agenda. So as the days unfurl, they will continue to implement it. I don't know how far along they are in doing so.
It's just incredible. I've done a lot of shows on this, and it's just so out there. It's hard to. Do you think they're going to come forward to the American people and the average people and educate them on what's really been going on? I mean, because at some point, being in the dark on this isn't good for people. I mean, it's just allows this kind of evil to flourish. And so the true history and what's really going on needs to come forward for this to be for it to be real. You know, I mean, otherwise people are just not going to believe it.
That's very true. And I think that's why Trump is allowing these riots to continue as he has, because I think he wants to awaken the people and to have them come to their own awareness and to raise their own questions. I think from some within the QAnon movement, they've said that the people would not be able to handle the reality if they were confronted with it, because they've been so brainwashed by the media. So they kind of have to kind of gradually bring this information forth.
Well, I think that's true. The information on what they do with children is incredible. The information, I've done shows on the elderly and how they're stripping them of their wealth and all their assets and killing them. It's incredible what they've done. They've stripped $40 trillion away from assets and retired, you know, the people's whole life nest egg. And they've stripped it away and they've killed them so they can't give their money to their children. And over the last three decades, we're talking about $40 trillion. So if you're trying to strip the wealth from the United States, that's a good way to do it.
That's correct. I've heard that in some retirement communities, they will dispatch guardians to the elderly, who then will make themselves wards of these people and then assign their estates to themselves.
Yes, that's what they're doing. And then they're also breaking the American family, the nuclear family down. And they're just the poor and the minority families are just being decimated through taking their children and throwing the poor and the black people in prison. It's destroying our nuclear families at the poverty level. Why would they destroy the poorer families, but not mess around as much with the middle class and upper families?
I think by taking if you take the children away from the poor families, I think a lot of those children are probably exploited, and the families have less power and means to protect them or even to pursue the injustice. But I think that their wider agenda is to be able to destroy the nuclear family, so the state, rather than the family itself, will be able to control those children. Like, they will own their allegiance to the state.
And it's more of a technocracy eugenics agenda anyways, because the poor people don't have the means, they think. They're not worthy of raising children. And so we need to do it differently, because if this is going to be their wards of the state, and we want better children.
Correct. That's correct.
It's awful. There's with no love. There's no love in this equation, which we all know love is the answer to all of this. Well, will you do me a favor and stick around for my Patreons, and we can talk about some more of these issues?
Sure, absolutely.
And before you leave, will you tell us more about your book and where people can get them? Because you have a whole list of books. And before you even do that, tell us a little bit about your background, because I think people will be really impressed with your background.
Sure. I am a journalist, of course. I have a bachelor's in English from UC Irvine, a master's from the University of Essex in England, and I began my career in Los Angeles as a news production intern for CBS News, TV News in LA. I worked for a few years as a journalist and as a writer for CBS News, and while I was working in LA, I was very interested in covering international news, so to becoming a foreign correspondent. So I worked in went to England, where I did my master's work. And while I was in England, I was able to to work for the Atlantic Council of the UK, which is like the NATO public affairs office. I became the first representative from Essex for the NATO Universities Advisory Committee. So I was able to organize conferences for the NATO leadership. And as editor of the European Review, I was able to solicit and edit manuscripts from the European heads of state to actually bring to the people the ideas and the agenda of what the globalists were trying to do. I was able to cover conferences as a correspondent, like the Britain and the World Conference, the Council of Europe Summit in Madrid, which launched the Euro, an anti-NATO debate in the Russian State Duma. I'm hopefully not getting too long, but after I graduated...
No, this is great.
I don't want to get too long. I worked for Michael Howard, who was the Shadow Foreign Secretary of the UK as speechwriter. Once my visa ran out, I returned to DC, where I worked as a producer for Fox News Channel, and then as a assignments editor for The Voice of America, which was the PR arm or the public information arm of the State Department. And then at the height of the North Korean conflict, I wrote speeches for the South Korean ambassador. To kind of advance the cause of peace and diplomacy over military strikes. And once I really acquired a sense of the politics of Capitol Hill, I began to work more in a freelance capacity to maintain my integrity. And my first book, or my first rural exploration, was on the Abramoff investigation, where I was able to uncover that Jack Abramoff had been set up for wrongful prosecution by a very partisan Department of Justice. And in the process of exploring the insides of the Indian tribes in great depth, I uncovered the deep state. And I've been trying to kind of bring forth the information that I've uncovered to the public to help us, maybe unravel this the deep state and to reclaim the country for ourselves, for the nationalists and the patriots.
So what do they think, having you out there, knowing what you know and knowing so much? They probably don't like you out there sharing all this information.
That could be. I'm sure they don't appreciate it. I received a lot of retaliation, if you will, when I was working on the Abramoff investigation. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but at the time, they devastated my life to the point that I never thought I would recover. And it's only through the grace of God that I've been able to recover and to have the opportunity to write books again. But it has not been an easy journey, for sure.
Well, I can imagine. That's why I'm so great that you're here sharing your story. There's so many more people out there like you that are risking their lives. I mean, that's what shows that you're a true journalist, is if you don't ever run into some hard times like that, you're over the target when you do that, is what I'm trying to say. It's a story that gets repeated over and over again when journalists are over the target and sharing true stories.
That is very true. But hopefully, I think, we are in a time now of truth. And I think there are more people open to the truth. And I think the deep state seems to have its hands tied in a way where they're not able to, keep the truth suppressed as they once were.
It's so amazing. The truth is so unbelievable that they say fiction is easier to believe than truth. And I think that's true in this case, because the more I learn, the more I'm just flabbergasted on what's really going on.
Yeah, truth is definitely stranger than fiction, as they say.
It sure really is. And if you're first hearing it for the first time, you're just shaking your head, can't even believe half this crap is true, because it's just unbelievable. Okay, so where can people get your books?
Okay, so Fleeced is actually spelled as in a technocratic code, which is FL and then 3-3-C-3-D, so it's Fleeced, where the E's are threes. All of my books are available on Amazon, and you're more than welcome to visit my webpage, which is susanbradford.org. And I have the thumbnails for all of the books on that page. And if any of the members of the audience have any questions, they're more than welcome to email me, and I'll definitely do my best to respond to them.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Susan. This has been a great show, and please stay after for my Patreons.
All right, will do. Thank you.